from Carmack Car Capital in Danville.
ESPN, the new Sunny 95.3. I'm Stevie J, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. Coming up in a matter of moments, 7:24 in Champaign-Urbana. The Fighting Illini have a football game, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, through 36 days away. And we've had so much fun with a program that we've titled Stevie J Pays, where we're allowing commercials to run on ESPN here 12 times a week, and you don't pay if Illinois actually loses their football game that week. And I wish I had a montage of reaction from the many people that have taken me up on this, because they just don't think we're going to have a very good year. And I know what the odds makers say, and I know that Las Vegas says we're going to win 3 times this year. That seems to be the consensus. Brother Johnny in our studio early. Johnny, I'm just an orange and blue guy. I can't help myself.
Well, Steve, I'm proud of you. I mean, I was on that team, and I'm pulling for them. We got our work cut out for us, yeah. But I like it. I like the Stevie J pace.
Well, we're just trying to be optimistic, and boy, I tell you what, though. What does my friend Bill Melberg say? Blessed are those that expect nothing, for they shall never be disappointed. There's not much expectation here for Illinois football.
I think Coach Beckman's been working hard, and I think we can have some optimism here. And like you say, 36 days.
Yeah.
Till kickoff.
Let's go. August 31. Johnny played in the 70s under Rob Blackman.
And kind of a Rudy story, right?
Well, I guess so.
It is. It is one of the grandest stories of all. Bob Blackman, and then the first year Gary Moeller, Johnny was on that team. But, Johnny went to practice, walked on, used to catch footballs as a wide receiver in practice. Used to come home with AstroTurf burns on your knees and elbows, and he used to get punished a little bit by the defensive backs because he'd run out. And that would be his Saturday in practice. Practices were his game days, and he'd score. And the coaches on the defensive said, what are you doing? You can't let him score. And they'd get mad at the defensive players. Mm-hmm. They'd have to turn it up to stay with Johnny on that down, out, and up. And and John could catch anything. I mean,
well, something.
You could catch everything one-handed.
We had a good time. Blackman had some good offense. And actually, Bob Blackman was about 500. And those were the years that Ohio State and Michigan were unbeatable, always going for the national championship. Mm-hmm. And then we got Gary Moeller from Michigan.
Yeah, right.
And that was when I worked, when he was here, I worked up to third string as wide receiver, which was pretty good for me. Yeah. Of course, all the other receivers had quit the team. Because there were no passes.
Yeah, it was first, second, third down was pretty predictable. Fourth down was always the punt.
Well, the punt was if we didn't fumble on the first, second, or third.
Yeah,
well, we were struggling in that. Well, Coach Moeller's philosophy was the same as Bo and Woody, which is wear the team down. You just run over them. You basically have 10 plays, and you wear them down. And I was the only engineer on the team, Steve. I always regretted not raising my hand and saying, Coach, that works if you have the better athlete. But if you don't, he always told us you'll learn their weakness and defeat them.
Yeah.
Well, if you aren't the better athlete, he's going to learn your weakness.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, well, except for the superior athlete, he had a good philosophy.
Well, it worked. Look, I remember you and I'd be at these games in the 70s, and we'd hear a halftime score. It's Iowa 10, Ohio State 7, and everybody would be cheering. Final score 63-10.
Yeah, right. Wear them down. How many 0-0 games did we have at halftime? We had a lot of games.
By the middle of the fourth quarter, when Archie Griffin played, literally the quarterback for Ohio State could have gone up and says, guys, it's on 2, and we're giving it to number 35 right here.
Matter.
Right here. He's going right up the middle.
Matter.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
It
didn't matter. Well, when Johnny got into the game, Mary Diane, my sister, and I were on the 50-yard line because you used to get a couple of tickets as a player. And it was the end of the Northwestern game. It was 48-6. And the team wanted Johnny in the game because he dressed for a number of games. They wanted him to get into the game. And so they put him in, ran a play they had not run for 2 years. A wide receiver screen, Ray Picorni to John Cacciatore, and he leaped high, caught the ball, gained 2 yards, and was carried off the field on everybody's shoulder.
Well,
it was
right.
I was there.
Well, the main thing is, I think we sensed a Northwestern comeback, and after that, they just laid. Steve, we broke them on 48-6.
Iced the victory. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, brought to you by VersaBar, a world leader in the development of heavy lifting solutions, proud sponsor of our segment Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 until 8. VersaBar, proud supporter of the University of Illinois College of Civil and Environmental Engineering, the St. Louis Cardinals, and the Unity Rockets. Learn more about VersaBar, www.vbar.com, www.vbar.com. You can see great video and pictures. VersaBar, the power of engineering delivered by Champaign Center Partnership. Download their Center City mobile app. Take advantage of great deals and perks throughout downtown, midtown, and campus town. Download it on iTunes or Android Marketplace by visiting ChampaignCenter.com. Buy Chester Financial, always thinking ahead. Buy Flooring Surfaces, where the world is at your feet. Buy Max Twin City Recycling. And by Lance Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Fox News update then. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, for this Friday, July 26th. We're back in just moments. We're okay. You're walking around a little bit, so.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. I'm in one piece, and everything's okay.
All right. Well, and Stevie, we may have to stop in and see what they got to say about Mike in Canton, Ohio, home of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Johnny and I are headed that direction. Family reunion this weekend, Mike, and it's always cool to go to the Canton Football Hall of Fame. And of course, you're part of that. That's such a cool deal. Do you ever take that for granted, Mike, or are you always appreciative that you're in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I don't think about it a lot, guys. Yeah, it's a great honor. It really is. When you think about the people who, you know, started this game, played in this game, and are part of the Hall of Fame, yeah, it's a great, great honor. I'm very privileged and honored to be in it. You know, I don't think a lot about it. I'm going to go to Canton this year. For sure, 50-year anniversary. It should be fun to see a lot of the guys and to see the new inductees. That'll be great.
And that's coming up. That's a good place to stop, too, if anyone's in the area.
Yeah,
around.
Absolutely. It's a really nice event.
Well, I remember Johnny kind of took it personally in the late 70s when we went to Canton Hall of Fame, and he sarcastically asked if anybody was buying the New Orleans Saints.
No, I said, do they have any more Saints stuff? And they all just laughed.
We got tons of that. So John bought glasses and water trays and shirts, and he went all the New Orleans. They probably the biggest Saints sale ever at the time.
Well, there was a lot of it left.
Yeah. Okay, Mike, we're going to have some fun here on the radio. When you get your number retired, December 9, we're going to run an ESPN promotion in the fall where people will have a chance. I'm going to give away a limo ride for two and a chance to go to that Monday Night Football game, see the Bears-Cowboys, and probably the best moment of that game for me is going to be when you walk out and they retire your number.
Well, it's pretty significant when you think about it. I played, the majority of my career with the Bears, and then I finished, the rest of my career with Dallas, and those are the two teams that were most instrumental in my career, so that'll be nice.
Yeah, well, we're excited about it. All right, Matt Ryan, Atlanta Falcons, $20.75 million, or about what you got when you were a star for the Bears and Cowboys, $20 million a year plus. Matt Ryan's locked up five more years for the Atlanta Falcons. Good quarterback, Mike.
Good things happen to good people.
And he's a good player.
Yeah. He's good people, and he's a good player, but he's a good person.
Well, and you know, they picked up.
I listened to his comment. He didn't worry about the money. He didn't worry about anything like that. He loves to play the game, and he's a great teammate. It's fun to watch him.
You know, Mike, they got Steven Jackson down there in Atlanta, so that's the Saints division. We're a little worried about him. We've had trouble tackling that guy, Steven Jackson.
But the Saints got their coach back. They'll be fine. As long as they got Drew Brees and their coach, they'll be fine. They'll find a way to win some games.
Yeah.
Get that defense working.
All right. The big Ryan Braun out the rest of the year. A-Rod in trouble. All about the PEDs and stuff they took to enhance their play, to enhance their bodies. I guess the Ryan Braun thing, when he came out with an impassioned plea in February of 2012, and said, oh, come on, man, it was, I don't ever take this. He lied, Mike, and then he comes out and gets this and says, well, I made some mistakes. It's been hard on my family. I mean, the guy's got $113 million that's still owed him, but I think the message is, and Pete Rose said it yesterday on The Herd, you got to come clean, Mike. You got to come clean. Tell the truth.
Well, I agree. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand the performing enhancing drugs that much to understand what they're talking about. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know how that changes eye-hand coordination. I know it makes you more durable. It makes you stronger. I think it helps your endurance. I understand all that. But, if you take them, say, I took them. I made a mistake. I'm done taking them and go on about your life.
I think the perfect example is Andy Pettitte, New York Yankees, came out, apologized, said, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It's over. I mean, Andy Pettitte's playing baseball, and it's not a big deal. It's when you cover stuff up, Johnny, when you cover it up, I think it's when you get in real trouble.
Well, sure, it's all the same story over and over. We get to see it in every area. But, no, you're right, and maybe that'll happen here, Steve. Big-time players, a lot of pressure, and if they can get that little extra edge, I think it's tempting. And so
And there's a whistleblower story this morning. Mike and Mike were talking about it. Story this morning, now the whistleblower said there's 100 guys, some from the NFL, some from boxing. He's got the names. I mean, I guess if this story comes out, I think those sports probably, I think it's not NFL or hockey, but it is NBA. There's some other leagues that are probably at least have to look at the story, because if baseball is looking at it, I would think the other leagues would have to take that seriously.
I don't think there's any question about it, you know. But, you know, here's the thing. You know, you got a young kid that's, you know, going to play baseball. They might be going into AAA or AA or something, and you say to them, hey, listen, son, if you take this, I'll guarantee you'll be in the majors. Now, what do you think that kid's going to say? I mean, it's not right. I understand that.
Mm.
But, you know, you understand the temptation these kids have to understand that they can go from making nothing to millions. Mm. If they can get to the majors, and that's why they do it.
Well, especially when you tell them, you know, everybody does this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's commonplace, yeah.
All right.
I think we're finding out that during the Tour de France Lance Armstrong years, who didn't take this stuff?
Well, I'm not sure he had an edge.
Yeah.
They were all
I think
doing.
Everybody was doing that, so is that an edge?
The poor guy who didn't take it was last.
Yeah. Like,
what's your problem?
That's right. Unbelievable. 741, Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, ESPN 93.5, Sonny. 95.3. Okay, this comment, for whatever reason, and I shouldn't let stuff get to me, but this comment got to me. The other day, Galesburg, Illinois, the President of the United States, speaking in front of obviously an adoring crowd, said this.
With this endless parade of distractions and political posturing and phony scandals, Washington's taken its eye off the ball. And I'm here to say this needs to stop. This needs to stop.
Okay. Phony scandals. Benghazi's a phony scandal. The IRS is a phony scandal. Are you talking about NSA? Are you talking about James Rosen and Fox News' scandal? Mike, are you kidding me? A phony scandal?
The only scandal in Washington right now is that the leader of the free world is not a leader at all. He's a reactor. He reacts to the situation. He's got great order. He talks well. And he's a BSer, but he's not a leader. He doesn't get the bull by the horns. He doesn't lead. He follows.
Well, and he made a very good, statement about taking your eye off the ball, but talk about a guy that doesn't have his eye on the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't find the ballpark.
I don't know. I mean, at some point he's a lame duck, but not yet. What gets done? Everybody's leaving Washington in a week, which is probably a good thing. I mean, nothing happens till September, and I don't know what they're working on. Jobs, or is it immigration? Well, what's today? What are we doing now here?
They're working on beating each other up so they get nothing done. That's what they're working on.
Yeah. Well, apparently the kind of thing that sells to a certain part of the constituency is just that. You just rebut anything. You make stuff up.
Steve, oh, yeah.
Mike, have you seen this guy run for mayor of New York, Anthony Weiner?
Oh,
are you
absolutely.
Kidding me?
Yeah.
Who would vote for that guy? Who?
John, we know you get what you tolerate. And if the public tolerates Weiner, fine. That's what they're going to get. That's what it is. You can't change it. This guy is a dog. You know, he's nothing. But, you know, in the eyes, well, he was discriminated against in some way. That really didn't happen. And so what if it did happen? He's okay.
Yeah.
But he's a liberal and this and that. You know, it's amazing.
All right. This is a New Yorker on Anthony Weiner.
His wife wants to forgive him. Perhaps we as a city should forgive him as well.
Yeah, okay. So this is a guy sending X-rated texts out to women, and he's married, and then he resigns from Congress. And then the next summer when his wife's having a baby, he's doing this again. What a creep. And my question is this the best New York has?
Well, I forgive him, but I wouldn't hire him for a job.
That's right.
I mean, you want him to be mayor of New York?
I get it. I am lost on the story. I don't understand how he's... Now, though, after this all came out, a brand new poll yesterday suggested he only has 16% support. However, the leader has only 25%.
Right, there's so many running.
Yeah, there's so many running that... But the fact that he's a candidate, I mean, it is just stunning to me. And he's walking around talking about the middle class. And then I think irony of ironies, his wife, Huma, has worked so closely with Hillary Clinton. Talk about somebody that could give her advice.
Well, yeah, and of course, Bill looks like quite a fountain of wisdom compared to this guy, Anthony Weiner. I'll tell you, That's amazing. That makes me think we don't know what we're talking about. The fact that he's even credible at all, that he's got double digits, is amazing.
Yeah, it is remarkable. 745, ESPN 93.5, the new Sunny 95.3. Juror B29, I don't understand. You know, if you're coming out and speaking about George Zimmerman, the verdict that you rendered, you're coming out after all of that.
I stand by the decision because of the law. If I stand by the decision because of my heart, he would have been guilty. I don't need money. No money in this world could pay me to forget the pain that I'm going through. Trayvon Martin will always be in my heart.
Okay, so what do I get out of that? I'm sorry they went through it.
Yeah, well, I don't know what she gets out of it. Well, if I was on the jury, I wouldn't be talking to anybody about that. You know, you try to do your job and listen to the deal, and that's it. And, of course, you know, Mike, people work hard to get out of jury duty, and I always have a lot of respect for people that go through the whole process and volunteer their time. And it's just part of the process, and why you would be coming out and going on TV. And then you have the numerical alphanumeric code. I don't know what. Maybe they do need to vent or something.
Yeah,
Steve, it's therapeutic or something. I don't know. It's a trauma when it's a case of this profile.
And I guess three of the six women—they're all women jurors. Three of the six crying when they rendered them because it was so emotional, so difficult. I think obviously this juror felt that, you know, wish they could have found him guilty, but based on the law and the rules, they couldn't. And maybe because of the protests, and I don't know if the protests have any legs. I haven't heard a lot about the George Zimmerman protests across the country that Al Sharpton was assembling. I don't know if that's got any more steam in it. But I guess at some point we got to say this was a tragic evening. A kid died. But now it's gone through our legal system. I guess we try and move on. I don't know.
You're right. But again, you know, this is all speculation. Nobody really knows what happened that night.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can blame the kid. We can blame Zimmerman, you know, but nobody knows what happened.
Now, ESPN and the new Sunny 95.3 back to conclude our segment with Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, next at 7:47. The world! Sunny 95.3, the governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, has just called Rand Paul dangerous, Johnny. Is he dangerous?
No, I don't think Rand Paul's dangerous. He makes some sense and fiscal conservative, and he wants us to quit being nuts. You know, Chris Christie's running for president, I think, and so he's kind of in the middle, and he wants to stay there, and I think he's been a good governor. I don't know if Chris is going to be able to carry the banner for the Republicans next time or not, Steve.
Yeah, he says warns of rising strand of libertarianism. I think I'm becoming libertarian.
Well, I like libertarian, Mike. It's more of an accountability and independence.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But I mean, they believe essentially the Greta Garbo, just leave me alone, kind of. I mean, just leave me alone.
Well, just not as much micromanaging your life, smaller government, you know, and more, just, you're right. Do it. It's got a liberal strain in it, libertarianism, which is do whatever you want, but, don't try to control what I do.
Right.
And you got to pay the price for it.
Yeah. We're a long way from that, aren't we?
Yeah, I don't think we'll become libertarian. There's a lot of that type of thinking, though, in this country. Because when you see the big government, you just kind of push maybe that much further away from it. And that's more of a libertarian view.
Yeah. Phil Mickelson had a good couple of weeks, Mike. He won the Scottish and he won the British Open. I think his total prize money was somewhere around $2.5 or $2.6 million. Story came out yesterday that based on all the taxes, because he was in Great Britain and this and that and this and that, after $2.6 million, Phil will get to keep $862,000.
Good things happen to good people. I'll say it again.
But I'll tell you, that's a lot of taxes.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, hey, listen. It's only getting started. They want to do a little bit more of this now.
Right.
That's the plan. Get Obama's plan down.
Yeah.
So that's 2.6, 1.8 million.
61%. 61% in taxes.
That's
getting up there. Hey, Mike, I know you're teeing off. What golf course are you at?
Sutterfield. What's the Invitational? It's a three-day event. We lost the first two matches, so we're in kind of a shootout thing. So I'm going to finish that up today, and I'm going home for the weekend.
Well, listen,
downtown.
What city are you in again?
Well, it's Oak Brook.
Restaurant Oprah, it's awesome.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Well, listen, maybe you're going to have a stunningly great day, make every putt, and then make a run, and who knows?
Well, we'll have fun. Let's not get carried away. We'll have fun.
Hey, listen, we'll call you Monday, Coach. Thanks for your time.
Right, Mike. Thank you, guys. God bless you.
Good luck. Mike Ditka. What the first thing he said? I'm horrible.
No, we stink.
We stink. Oh, man.
Well, that's first when you got to call it like it is,
yeah,
Steve.
He always has, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
The candid nature, I don't know if it's accurate, but I say Mike Ditka says what you think, but you're afraid to say.
He's just honest. And there's not a lot of spin with Mike.
No. And I think that's what refreshing, because what you've told me once, we're so politically correct, we can't even discuss anything anymore.
No, you can't. You can't get to the root of the problem, and I think it's frustrating. And you can't sit down and talk about what we need to do, because you won't talk about what's wrong. Yeah. So that's the problem.
Well, how do you get through that?
I mean, you got to get over that. You cannot fix anything if you don't know what's wrong with it. I remember the example of our esteemed Illini football coach Ron Turner. I don't know if you remember, but he was struggling there at the end when we weren't able to win any games, if you remember that, Stevie. And he was getting behind three touchdowns, and then we were coming back, and it looked like they weren't ready to play. And you asked him, Coach, what are you going to do to get out of the blocks, get started? They're just not ready to play. They play so much better as the game goes on. Mm-hmm. No, we got it. It's fine. It's not a problem. We're going to be ready. Got a good game routine. We're going to be fine. And, of course, they lost 11 games. But because he didn't agree that was a problem.
Yeah.
So you can't fix it if you don't recognize it as a problem.
Well, and what is Detroit, Michigan going to do? Didn't get a chance to ask Coach that. But you've got a city that had 2 million, now has 700,000 people. 76% of high school kids drop out there. It takes 58 minutes for police to arrive when you call 911. It's a mess. Are you going to move your company to Detroit, Michigan?
Well, and that's a different situation where you can recognize the problem and I don't know what you do. Because the whole infrastructure, education, support, services, was based on 3 million people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a business plan based on growth. Right. You go from 1.8, over the next 15 years we'll be at 3 million, we'll be able to pay all these pensions, we'll be able to pay higher stuff. They went from 1.8 million to 700,000 people. There isn't anywhere near enough.
Well, then how many are working out of that 700?
Well, and that's another issue. But it's kind of a death spiral, and you can't get out of it because you can't draw in more people that would bring in money to pay for the services. How do you fix Detroit is a very good question. Mm.
And, well, it might be bellwether of what's coming for Chicago and some of Los Angeles. And can't lose the major cities, can we?
I think you've got to probably figure out how to attract people who want to take advantage of opportunity, free office building.
Yeah.
But to do that, you have to be safe.
Right, exactly.
And I don't know what you do about that. Because right now it's not a very safe feeling place. So big problem there. But that's one where I think we can see the problem, but we don't really have a solution yet.
Yeah.
We'll work the issues.
Yeah. Johnny, we'll leave it there and call you Monday.
Stevie, thanks a lot. And it's always great to see everybody here. Steve J broadcasting. What a place. It's hopping. It's booming over here.
Unbelievable. It's Brother Johnny Mike Ditka, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, 7:56. This Wall Street Journal update brought to you by Eric Boland, Provident Financial Group in Champaign, where partnerships are built on trust. Find them at ProvidentFinancialGroupLLC.com.
This is